And as we prepare to hear God's word proclaimed now, let's pray our prayer for illumination. Our Lord and our God, now as we hear your word, fill us with your spirit. Soften our hearts that we may delight in your presence. Sharpen our minds that we may discern your truth. Shape our wills that we may desire your ways. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our scripture lesson for this morning comes to us from Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4. We're reading today verses 1 through 9. Hear now the word of the Lord. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia, and I play with Syntyche, to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our friends Hank and Yoel are here with us today for a children's sermon. Thanks for sending this in. Children, gather around for the gospel.
Hey there. It's good to see you again. Miss Peter's taking a break. She's getting a break for a week. So I'm going to be filling in for her. And we'll do this children's message today with Yoel, my sister, right here. So we're going to talk about peace today. So give me a minute. I'm going to show you something. Okay, can you see the word peace here? Right there. Peace. Okay, so now we see two symbols. One here on the left. See that one? What does that look like? Well,
a dove.
A dove. It looks like a dove. So a dove is a symbol of peace. That's been used in the Christian world for a long time because it represents the Holy Spirit coming down from heaven in the shape of a dove and bringing peace to the world. A very old, beautiful symbol. And here's a second one, this one, which is much younger. That one was designed or made in the year 1950. That's actually not that long ago. And it is used as a symbol for people who want to bring peace to the world as opposed to war. So peace instead of fighting. Okay, now let me ask you a question. Do you ever get worried?
Yeah, sometimes.
What do you get worried about? Think about it for 2 seconds. I know, I'm sure you know something that you're worried about. Well, here's an example. How about monsters under the bed? Look at that. Maybe you sometimes think there is a monster under your bed. You get scared. Maybe it's coming to get you. What to do now?
Crawl under the covers. Call for your mom and dad. Turn off the light.
Okay, now look here. Here's a little boy who had that problem. His name is Calvin. He's pretty famous. Look at him. Are there any monsters under my bed tonight? Ooh, little voice says, no. he says, if there were any monsters under my bed, how big would they be? Very small. Go to sleep. And then that's too much. He's calling for his mom. All right. Let me switch this off. Maybe you're worried about other things, not just about monsters under your bed. Right? Maybe you're worried about school. We all have things we worry about, even grown-ups. Grown-ups worry about money, for example. What did we all worry today about coronavirus? And people are always looking to get rid of their worries. People are always looking for peace. And here is where the Bible has just a beautiful message. So let's read a short passage from the Bible, an old song that comes from Psalm 4.
Many people ask, who will give us anything good? Lord, be kind to us.
And who's going to help us?
But you have made me very happy. I am happier than they are, even with all their grain and wine.
I'm happy, even though I don't have as much as the other people.
I go to bed and sleep in peace. Lord, only you keep me safe.
This is very similar to what Pastor Chris was just reading from the Bible.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
God promises us peace, even when things are difficult or tough. And that is so encouraging. It gives us real hope. The peace of God will follow us everywhere and all the time. So let's pray.
Dear God, we thank you for your peace. We ask that there may be peace in our hearts and peace in the world. May we be your helpers in spreading your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. It was good to see you. I hope you have a good week. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Early on in my ministry career, this is going back to the mid-2000s or so, a big deal was made in the church, especially among mega churches, those churches that had grown to be numbering in the thousands on a Sunday morning. A big deal was made about trying to get back to the Acts 2 church. You familiar with the Acts 2 church? If you were to open up your Bibles, you would see in Acts 2, you have the story of Pentecost, right? Where Peter is proclaiming the good news about Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 are added to their number. And then we learn that they would gather together in houses and they would attend to the apostles' teachings. They would break bread and they had all things in common, which is a wonderful picture, isn't it? I mean, I wish, right? I wish that we would live in a time when we could sit and listen and pray and break bread together and live in peace and have all things in common. It's a beautiful image. And it happens in Acts 2. And the idea was, hey, if we can only get back to being like the Acts 2 church, then our churches will grow, and they'll grow, and they'll grow, because that's what they did in the book of Acts. It's a nice thought. But as we read here in Paul's letter to the Philippians, right when we get started out here, it's not reality. It's not reality that people are going to be able to live sinless lives. And what happens when we focus in too much on the good stories in the Bible is it makes us feel guilty that we're not living up to that lofty standard. So it's somewhat comforting to me that here towards the end of Paul's letter, he writes and he names these two women. And what were their names? Well, I'm pretty sure that I butchered the pronunciation of these names. It's funny, I mean, normally on a Sunday, I would pass this kind of a passage off to some poor person that would have to stand up and make a fool out of themselves, and that's me today. Their names are Euodia and Syntyche. You get the picture. Two women, and Paul pleads with them publicly to agree with each other in the Lord. He wouldn't plead with them to agree if they were already agreeing. There's a disagreement going on between the two of them. Now, I know what you're thinking. They're in the same church. How could they possibly have disagreements with each other? Right? Paul just wrote that we're all supposed to have the mind of Christ. We're supposed to put the needs of others before our own and all of these things. And that breeds a sense of contentment and a sense of compassion and a sense of companionship. But here we find reality, which is perhaps a bit comforting for us living in the church today where we have disagreements over a great number of things. We disagree about things like how long a worship service should be. If we were to get new carpeting or new drapes, what color should they be? Should we use the organ or the guitars more? Should there ever be drums in a worship service? When we say the Lord's Prayer, should we say debts and debtors or trespasses and those who trespass against us or just sins and sinners? All kinds of different disagreements that we have at a very base level, not to mention the deep theological questions that are facing the church right now about the place of women in leadership or how we as a church should approach topics like human sexuality or war or our posture towards the government. Lots of disagreements, and not to mention the fact that there are those theological disagreements, and then you have all the other disagreements that just make their way into a church community too. Now, I've been the pastor here at Abundant Life Reformed Church for over 7 years now and have preached on a consistent basis that the Dallas Cowboys are God's team. And would you believe it? There are still Giants fans here. I can't believe it. Not to mention, gosh, the closer we get to November, right, here in the community of Abundant Life Reformed Church, we have those who will vote for Donald Trump and those who will vote for Joe Biden and those who will vote for some third-party candidate and some who will not vote at all out of protest. And we have all kinds here, and we welcome all. But when we welcome all, we are bound to have some disagreements. That's the reality of the fabric that we are in. So Paul, we ask the question of you, how are we supposed to agree with each other in the Lord? He also implores the rest of the church. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? He doesn't write a letter just to them to tell them to work out their disagreement. He writes it to the whole church, because he recognizes that sometimes when there are disagreements, it takes a community of people to help bring about a solution. So he says, I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, boy, that is a mouthful, Help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Help them. Help them to find agreement. Help them to find a solution. Don't just send them into a room by themselves to work it out in whatever way they can. The community is there together. And that's what practicing our faith looks like. The theme of this letter that Paul has written to the Philippians is that they are in this together. He is there in chains, not certain of what the next day is going to bring. He's writing to them in their possible persecution in the midst of uncertainty themselves, and they are in solidarity with each other. They are in this together. And it's a good message for us today that we are in this together, regardless of what our disagreements might be, regardless of what differences we might have. We are called by the power of the Holy Spirit to work it out. And then, the words that are good and challenging to hear: rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, this is great bumper sticker language here, right? You see this pulled out of its context here in Philippians a lot and just plastered all over everything to say, you know, no matter what, just be happy and rejoice. But the power of where it is here in Paul's letter is that there is a recognition that sometimes it's hard to rejoice. Sometimes we don't feel a lot like rejoicing, especially when we're in these battles, especially when we're in these disagreements, especially when things get hard. I know I have times when things seem too hard to rejoice. I look at the world cynically, with dry, biting humor, jaded. I watch a debate and I see a fly on somebody's head and I focus more on that than I do on the issues that they're dealing with, the issues that we're facing. It's like, you know, you feel that sometimes too. I'm sure you do. But we're called to a higher standard. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Again, those are hard words. Especially when it feels like there's so much that you could be anxious about, right? We were talking before the service here today about how dangerous it feels sometimes just to go outside. Like the things that we would have found routine a year ago put ourselves at risk. It's hard. It's hard, and yet there is this call when we feel that sense of anxiety, when we feel that sense of worry, when that uncertainty begins to creep in, when those things cloud our minds, to turn them over to God and to be released from it. And the gift we receive in turn is a sense of peace. A peace that is a gift from God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's a whole cottage industry around helping people find peace, to work for peace, to strive for peace. There are TV shows, there are podcasts, there are books and blogs and magazines, all with lifestyle coaches and giving advice columns of you should do this and you should do that and you should buy this and you should not buy that and you should, you know, get out of debt and invest and you should take out loans and you should buy more and you should not buy more and you should make more money or you should, you know, quit your job or all of these different things. And if you read all of them, I read a fair amount of them, you come out of the other end wondering, what in the world did I just read and what am I supposed to do? You can end up feeling more confused than you do finding peace. And that is because peace, true peace, does not come by the things that we do. True peace is a gift from God. It's a gift from God that comes from finally not trying to do it all ourselves. And I think that's probably the bottom line in all of this. If we were to take this letter as a whole and ask, what is the theme around this? The answer is, it's the Spirit of God that does these things in you. Your humility, your sharing, your sacrifice, your peace, all of it a gift from God. A gift that God gives to the church. And so, when things seem overwhelming, when the anxiety and the fear and the despair and the hopelessness crush down on us, the prescription here in verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Change your focus. Think about something else. Look for the beauty that is from God. If there's one bit of practical advice that I can give, the thing that I find myself having to tell myself when those feelings cloud me, turn off CNN and close down your Facebook and Twitter window and Instagram and all these things and go outside. Feel the breeze, smell the flowers, watch the deer eat your flowers. And think about the beauty and breathe and follow Paul's advice. It's like an anxiety detox in a way. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. It's a message I need to hear today. And maybe it's a message you need to hear today. But I'm quite certain that it's a message that our world needs to hear today. About this message of peace. Now, it's amazing to me, again, to think about Paul sitting in a jail cell, not sure what the next day is going to bring, and still being able to write about peace, about a sense of peace that he has and the peace that he wants to pass along to other people. But that's what practicing our faith looks like. It looks like finding peace in dire circumstances. It looks like finding hope in hopeless situations. It looks like seeing the beauty in ugly things. My friends, today that's a gift that God wants to give to us. For us to make space in our lives, in our minds, for that gift of peace to come and dwell, to sit like a mustard seed in our souls, to bloom and blossom, the kingdom of God, ready to turn our attention from the things that bring us down to that which builds us up. And sometimes we need help from one another to be able to do that. And so that's why we live in community. That's why the you in this is plural. It's written to a community of people to build each other up and to help each other see the places of beauty. And in order to do that, we've got to be together, first of all, which is hard right now, granted. But we need to be there for each other as well. Checking in, seeing how you doing. Rescuing each other out of the isolation that breeds anxiety, cynicism, and hopelessness. So how should we wrap up this entire letter from Paul, thinking about all of these things? Paul finishes his letter, "Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Amen. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for this message from your word. We thank you for your presence with us, for reminding us of this need that we have to be at peace, and for the gift of your Spirit that brings that peace. Give us the courage to remind each other of it, to build each other up, and to help each other through our difficulties and our differences. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today is adapted from the 23rd Psalm. So let's stand and profess our faith together. The Lord is my shepherd. He takes care of all my needs.
The Lord is my shepherd. He takes care of all my needs.
The Lord watches over me. He takes care of all my needs. He gives me a home to live in. He gives me water to drink. He gives meaning to my life.
The Lord is my shepherd. He takes care of all my needs.
He guides me along the right way, even when I'm walking by myself in a strange place. I don't feel scared because I know that the Lord is with me to help me and give me courage.
The Lord is my shepherd. He takes care of all my needs.
He gives me food to eat. I always have enough to drink. He has blessed me with many things. I will never be able to repay him for his kindness.
The Lord is my shepherd. He takes care of all my needs.